So, Father, we download everything you have. And I do ask that the spirit of healing will be in the house. Body, soul, mind, spirit, being. Everything of us that has been injured, wounded, taken off track, we thank you, we center it on the goodness of God and that incredible name, Jesus. And we say, we're not being distracted. So, Father, right now, let your healing, physical healing, literally we pray we will sit and bathe in that faithful goodness of God. Penetrate our bodies, our systems, blood conditions, skeletal conditions. Father, we do just knock with our spirit all the way and just say, let it be according to your word in our lives right now, right here, today, in that wonderful name of Jesus. I pray a shifting for every mental health issue, everything that's been overwhelming, depressive, every attitude of isolation, every just seduction of the enemy that has made us think unlike what we should be thinking. We right now take hold of stinking thinking and we tear it down in Jesus' name. We thank you for a remodeling of our dream capacity, our creativity, our ability to think like Jesus. And we put our hands into that spiritual essence of who we are and we say, wake it up in our hearts, Lord. And we thank you for it. In your amazing name. Amen. Well, tonight I'm going to speak on stand. Stand. And you see, there are seasons in our life, in the life of our church, in the life of our nation, which makes you realize it is a tipping point season. And we can get anxious and see, wow, this is just about to go over the edge. But if we respond correctly, I really believe that a tipping point season can turn into a turnaround moment. How many of you know what I'm saying? It suddenly tips and you can actually use the momentum of the tipping to turn yourself around, to reverse the force. 484 times in the Bible, there is this imperative stand. Why does the Bible have to get right in our face and say, stand, stand up, stand? And you see, this word stand isn't a nonchalant stand. It's not, well, I'm not sitting anymore, so I better get up, and I'm sort of standing. That imperative, the biblical stand, literally means to be on stance. It is almost like a taekwondo or that sort of word, when you stand prepared for a pushback, but you're in stance ready to hold ground. Hello? We stand with attitude. We're engaged. Those quads are ready to push. There's nothing nonchalant. You see, usually the thing is we receive this instruction in the times when we want to check out. When our natural inclination and what we're feeling is, I'll sit this out. I'm a bit tired. I've done my stuff. I want to watch rather than engage. But all around, heaven is roaring. Stand up, church. Here's an interesting Bible study for you to do in this year. Look at the positions through the Bible. Sit down. Talks about time of sitting. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We rule and reign. There are times to be seated. There's times to stand. Having done all, stand, engage faith. There's times to kneel, to bow down, to prostrate. There's times of many different positions. You get it. And we don't get to pick and choose. I believe heaven decrees. And I feel so strongly, especially for the Western world, UK, Europe, USA, Canada, God is saying, off your butts, stand up. Up. Stand up. You see, all through the biblical days, there was plenty of pressures. There were plenty of times when they wanted to hide. Gideon, yeah, I don't want to. Stand up. But I'm going to look at the life of Daniel. You see, I believe God wants you to hear something. And it's not just about what you do externally. It's something that happens internally. How many of you know? There comes a resolute resilience that said, you know, my world is telling me, sit down, sit it out. You worked hard. But actually, your spirit is saying, come on, stand up, stand up, stand up. Think of Daniel. He was an immigrant. He was taken out of his world, his culture, his Jesus place, God-fearing, God-loving, God-knowing, God-praying, God-seeking, and put into a Babylonian Persian system that was God-hating, idolatrous, difficult. He wasn't in the church, he was in the world. He would be like your attorney general. He was right there at the national level, and he had a smart mind, and he was able to execute where the government should be. They were the ones who would look back at the precedents set in nations and the precedents of relationships, and then they would sit down and say, this one's causing trouble, what should we do? They called them magicians and astrologers in those days. Today we call them lawyers. We won't go there. But Daniel stood up amongst all these people, and he was able to hold his integrity. Daniel 4 says that he was known as the guy with supernatural intelligence and a divine ability to problem solve. How many of you need a divine downgrade to problem solve in your place of work? That you're looking at all sorts of things and you're thinking, this is really beyond, and I need divine ability. Guess what? We have it in Jesus. And Daniel was able to stand up in his season. He sounds a bit like some of the people I know in Oxford. No meat, no sweets, no alcohol. He chose a special diet. He began to step back from certain things to find a new standing and a standout crowd. God's looking for people who stand out. It's easy to obey the urge to merge, but stand out people. And you see, Daniel stood up in his generation, and he was stood out for his excellence of mind, his excellence of character, his excellence of relationship. I found that myself, and you've most probably noticed, especially I went in the prayer room a couple of times, I think, at Regina, I can't sit down. This is not a sitting season for praying. This is a standing season. Every time we're praying, it's like I feel God say, stand up. You can hear I've made you decree. This is not a pleading season. This is a decreeing season. Let it be according to your words. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. We are royal intercessors, not pleading priests. And God's put a word in her mouth, and I speak to the strongholds. And I say, bow down. And I look to the window like Daniel. He stood up, he looked to the window, and he beheld his God. It's standing season. I want to look at different things. I could do so much in the book of Daniel. I could have you here for a week. But let's look at five things. Number one, how do we stand in this season? Number one, we need to set our minds. Say it with me. Set my mind. Then he can do Daniel 10, verse 12. Daniel 10, verse 12. Then he continued. Who is this? This is God, angelic, Spirit of God, speaking to Daniel, dialoguing with him. Now read it with me. 1, 2, 3. Do not be afraid, Daniel. Pause. I believe one of the major weapons the devil is using in this season is intimidation and fear. He wants us to sit it out. He wants us to be quiet. He wants us to rob us of our dialogue and narrative.
You know, what do you think about gay? Ooh, I get caught. What do you think about gender shift? What do you think? What do you think? And we feel the intimidation and we want to sit it out. We want to duck and dive. We want to put it under the carpet. We've got to become like Daniel. We've got to ask for downloads of the Holy Spirit. We've got to ask for wise counsel. An articulate speech. I believe God wants us to break spirits of fear. How many of you would say you're just aware that fear and intimidation has downsized your call and destiny? Give me a wave. And so the angel of the Lord comes to Daniel and says, don't be afraid, Daniel. Now read it to me. Since the which day? That you set your mind to gain understanding and humble yourself before your God. Your words, first day were heard, and I have come in response to them. You see, I believe, and I want to try and show you tonight, that we are in a different season of prayer and intercession. You see, there are times, and I picked Daniel intentionally, because Daniel was stood up in his season to take hold of the future. There are times when we are standing up to eradicate the past. Chronicles, and you know, if my people call by my name, humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven, forgive your sin, heal the land. This is history restoration. We're going back to come forward. But there are other days where God begins to say, actually, you are getting hold of your future. Do you get what I'm saying? Come on, Lifelinks. It is not about your yesterday. It is about your tomorrow. You are at a tipping point, and God is wanting to put a new mantle on you to stand up to take hold of tomorrow. Kickstart for 2020. You see, we need to be intentional and focused to understand the mind of God. God is looking for us to recognize the urgency. From the first day, you set your mind. That setting of your mind is not sort of apathetic. It is a very intentional. It's literally like getting your GPS and not just putting in an address. It's right down to the geographical latitude, longitude degrees. It literally means to specifically target with intentional accuracy. I'm laser beam focused with my mind right now, for this will be according to the word of God. And from the moment we set our minds, from the first day I prayed, you were heard. And you see, so often we think that our problem is getting from earth to heaven. Spiritual war, that when we begin to battle for our future, actually we engage in a different spiritual warfare, and we are engaging of bringing from heaven to earth. And that requires a different prayer, a different language, a different warfare, a different training. Do you understand? And we've got stuck in the prayer mode of clearing the earth to access heaven. And God is saying, come on, this is a new day. You need to stand. You need to look into heaven. From the first day you prayed, I opened earth to heaven. But now there's a shift. So number one, we need to set our minds. Number two, we are in a battle and it is intense, but we don't quite understand it. Hello? How many would say that you have been in a rip-roaring battle in this last 9 months? How many, and I want, just put your hands up. How many would say it's health? Just put your hands up. If you've really had health issues, either in your life or your family's, immediate family's life, put your thing. You can look around because I want you to see. Health has been a major issue in many things. How many would say it's relationship? It's just relational issues have gone a bit crazy and it's been hard work. Okay, that's fine. Put it around. How many would say money? Look around, because it's interesting. Often it's money which is the biggest thing, but it's not. What would you say was the biggest? Health was actually the number one from where I was sitting. Number two, relationship. Number three, in fact, very number three, was money. Interesting. When God really gets your health and physical, there's nothing like that for distracting your mind and sitting you down. I'm not feeling well, I need to sit down. Anyway, I haven't got time to do all of that. Daniel 10. We're in the battle and it is intense. So let's carry on reading. Daniel 10, 12, now 13. So Daniel 12 finished. Humble yourself before God. Your words are heard and I've come responding to them. Now 13, 1, 2, 3. But you need to notice buts. Not this one, the buts of the Bible. What is the but there for? It is a process of thought. You are thinking this way, but stop, rethink, consider, because actually there's another story in narrative. But, okay, now read. The Prince of Persia Kingdom resisted me for 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there by the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the for the vision concerns a day to come. A day to come. You see, Daniel was standing for the future of his nation. Come on. We need to get up and begin to stand for the future of America. Stand for the future of Canada. Stand for the future of the United Kingdom. Stand for the future of Europe. And there is a rip-roaring battle going on. From the first day you prayed, I heard you. And I responded, but I want you to think for a little moment, what do you think 21 days of heavenly battle looks like? That is all the angels, the king of Persia, and you've got super dude Michael, who is 10-star general of heaven, next to God the Father and Jesus himself. And they are withheld in heaven 21 days. When God has given the edict, go, they've prayed, answer on the way. It's nothing about you to heaven. It's all about heaven to earth. Do you get what I'm saying? What does that look like? The battle is intense. Say to someone, the battle is intense. And in some ways, it's out of our hands. But in some ways, it's totally in our land. And you see, what we do is, oh, well, where's God? He hasn't heard me. I'm going on a cruise. What do we need to do? We need to. I look for a man who would. In the which gap? Heaven to earth. Lightning conductors. And you see, we believed a lie of the devil that nothing's happening because we are not praying enough, etc. Actually, this is not so much the season of prayer, it's the season of attitude and posture. It's we are standing on the goodness of God. It's exactly what you did, where you precious Ryan. Faithful you are. Faithful you will be, stand on those promises. We don't actually need to do a lot of stuff. We've already penetrated heaven. Heaven's already said, yes, America. Yes, Canada. The seed's in the ground. Agitate it. Lay your lives down. But he's looking for people who will so stand, not get distracted. Set their mind. From the first moment you pray, I send a command. But there's a rip-roaring battle in heaven. Does it matter to you enough that you will stand until I can break through? How many say that's a different perspective? I believe heaven is saying to us, come on, let heaven's army, heaven's roaring. What do you think that looks like? We sing it. We love it. What does that look like? Come on. Daniel 7:25. Read it with me. And he, who is the he? The demonic power. He's talking about the make me weak. I'm just picking scriptures. I haven't got time to do the whole of Daniel. Literally, it would take me a week. He, come on, 1, 2, 3. He will speak against the Most High and oppress his holy people. Now watch this and try to change the set times and the laws. It's your future again. Do you understand? We are in a rip-roaring fight for our destiny, for our generation. We've got to kickstart 2020. Heaven is roaring, and God is saying, will you stand up? Be a standout people. Okay, let me unpack this. He will speak against the Most High. So part of the enemy's strategy in this time of battle is that the devil is accusing God. And often we immediately think of Job, that the devil goes to God to accuse the integrity of Job. Is this that? No. So what is this confidence? He will accuse the Most High. Where? In your ear. Come, Nathan. Come. You see, what is happening is the devil comes into you. And where do we see a biblical replica? Eve. The devil comes into you, Nathan, and he said, come on, God's a bit mean. He's asking so much of your life right now. You deserve, you've got a cute wife, you've got great kids. Come on, don't give everything. You know, you deserve just a bit of time out. You know, God's a bit of a mean worker. If you really give yourself to that tree of good and thing, God really hasn't got your interest in heart. You really think God's going to help you? God's going to make you. He's going to fulfill you. If I were you, I wouldn't lean so hard in. Come on, you need to hold. You need to look after yourself because God won't. How many have heard that? You see, that's exactly what the devil did to Eve. Isn't that true? He accuses the Most High to us. And there's a narrative that the devil's been using to sit us down. Thank you, Nathan. And right now, in Jesus' name, come on, put your hands and say, I break that curse. I break that stinking lie. I break the serpent that's been in my ear that says, oh, don't lean into God. He'll fail you. He'll make you look stupid. You believe for that money, you'll look at idiots. God isn't really going to provide. You need to look after yourself. Daniel, look at me. Daniel, you see, the Spirit of God came to Daniel and said, Daniel, look at me. You've got an enemy and he's accusing the Most High to you. There you are, opening your window, praying to God and giving your life. And God doesn't really care. He's not going to look after you. You'll end up with the lions on the barbecue. And then the second bit. And this is the second strategy of the enemy. He will oppress his holy people. Do you know what that word oppress means? I want to give you the literal biblical translation of it. It literally means he will use a strategy to wear out his saints with weariness by using constant, consistent nuisance and harassment. Day after day, so that you are tired. None of the devil's things are life-threatening, but all of them are life-destroying. It looks something like this. I get up in the morning and I go to work. I pick up my cell phone and discover it hasn't charged, even though I plugged it in. So now I try and get the GPS to where I need to get to, and it won't work. So I go the way I think and I get there, and then suddenly my phone clicks in and a memo comes up, which I couldn't get, that says the meeting that I've been tearing across town for has now been cancelled. And so I finally get back to my office and I begin my day, and it just seems that my computer isn't doing great, and it's just nuisance, nuisance, hassle, hassle. I finally get home and find the dishwasher, which I did remember to put in, has flooded. Anyone know what I'm talking about? And then you try and put your car in the garage and the code somehow has frozen and the fob won't work. And you're playing with this and it's just like, seriously? And then you wake up and it starts all over the next day and the next day. And you drop your kids off at school and they say, oh, it's special dress day, and you forgot and hadn't got the special thing. So you have to go home. How many of you know what I'm talking? None of it is life threatening, but all of it is life robbing. This is that. This is the oppression of the enemy. Why is it like this? Because he wants you to sit down. What should you be doing? Stand up. So come on, stand up. You can't sit on a stand or the thing and say, Father, right now I stand up. I stand up out of every harassment. I stand up of everything. Come on, you pray. You pray. I don't have to do it for you. I want you to recognize the strategy of the enemy and just say, no, Father, I can see how he's been just making me feel life is against me, but I stand up in Jesus' name. And as you stand, I want to read something over you. And this is what he said to me. He said, do not be afraid, for I am going to upgrade the navigation skills of the church. You will be able to find a way through even the most difficult circumstances, for I am outpouring a new grace. I will show you a way through, even where it seems there is no way. You have said in your heart, I've reached a dead end. Do I need to turn around? But God says, no, I even have a way for you. For I will be both a lamp to your feet in your everyday, and I will be the revealer of the broad path of your future. Do not fear. Break the atmosphere of intimidation. For right now in the spirit, there are new skills available to you to help you navigate the path in this new season of your future that is about to be revealed. Now come on, say, I want that, Father. Father, we receive a navigation skill for a new season of standing. Father, we thank you that you make a way where there feels like there is no way. Amen. So number one, set your mind. Number two, it's intense, but we win. Number three, you can sit down if you want. If you want to stand, you can. I don't care. I'm standing throughout. Yeah. Understand the times and seasons. Understand the times and seasons. You see, I really believe that God is going to give you what I call a this is that moment. Suddenly, how many of you, even by me saying you're fighting for your future, it's happened to, how many of you just gone, this is that. We need to come into an understanding. You see, this, I spoke last night, this is an Omega moment. Things are shutting. I believe God is shutting the influence of our history, but he is wanting to open the door to our future. And you see, this was Daniel, because suddenly he went, aha, this is 70 years of captivity. I'm standing at the tipping point of the promises of God. Exactly what Ryan and dear Jackie said. Oh, faithful you are. We're stepping in that shifting place of the tipping point. 70 years is up. Captivity is broken. All slaves go free. And suddenly Daniel realizes it is finished, but I'm going to stand and open the window to the new day. Come on. I believe, interestingly, Brexit, 70 years, April the 20th, 1949, there was the Westminster Conference with Winston Churchill and the European leaders when they began to construct the solical, ethical formation of the European Union, which was then later ratified in the 60s and 70s. But the soul, spiritual reaction, which was born out of fear, everything written in that Westminster Conference, we can't let this happen again. It can never happen again. We're fearful of what happened. So out of their fear, they constructed a new order. 1949, what are we today? 2019, how many years is that? 70. 1949, 2019, 70 years. It is broken. We're coming out. I believe it's gone. I don't believe it's going to be easy. I believe it's going to hit our finance. But I absolutely believe that God has called us out to realign us with the kingdom principle. We're not leaving Europe because we have a destiny and a purpose to preach the gospel to Europe. We are leaving European control, secular institutions. We're coming out. What about America? What about Canada? I felt God say, Gordon said it all the way. Come on, what did God say? Gordon said, Gordon, they're nearly the same. God's got a? God's got a? God's got a? For Canada. Trudeau can't tip Canada out of the destiny of God. I'm sorry. What God says will be. Trump can't tip America out of the destiny of God. God's got a plan. God is bigger, greater than every political spirit, bigger than, greater than every social spirit. And the church needs to get on side with God and not with politics. We need to get rid of the political spirit out of the church. Politics can't save us. Jesus can. I've got one scripture for you, Luke 12, 32. I was praying in the North Devon House of Prayer, and I was walking, like I say, it's been a walking season. And as I was walking, I felt this hand go boom in the back of me. I thought it was Gordon, because often he puts his hand in the back of me when he can see prayer. And I turned around, and he was the other side of the room. So I thought, what was that? And again, I felt, boom, this hand go in the back of me. And he said to me, Rachel, stop allowing panic in the church. Tell them, I've got this. I've got this. So right now, in Jesus' name, we break every panic. We break every political spirit. We break every sound of media that shaped our worldview on what is our future. And we tear it down in Jesus' name. And we lift up the precious name of Jesus. And we declare, our God has got this for the glory of God. And then he said, say to the church, come on, you can stand and read this. Read it for America. Read it for Canada. Read it for Britain. Read it for the world. And begin to just speak to them and say, we break the spirit of fear and intimidation. Come on, do not be afraid, little flock of the nations. For your Father has been pleased to gift you the kingdom. Come on. There is a gift for you right now. In Jesus' name. So number four, it's standing season. It's standing season. Daniel 10, verse 4. On the 24th day of the first month, I was standing on the bank of the great river of Tigris. I had to stand. You see, I believe God wants to position you in certain strategic locations in your city, in your nation, because he wants it to get in you and disturb you. I'm going to stand there. Tigris, interesting, was one of the border rivers of the Garden of Eden. It was the promised place, wasn't it? Tigris, Euphrates. And he's standing right there and he's thinking, oh my God, this should be the very paradise presence of God. This is the place where you come down and walk and talk with us. Oh God, I'm standing here. There's a day and a time when you need to let those feet come and go and stand in places, on stands, ready to engage and just say, not on my watch. Not on my watch. Oh God, I'm going to stand on behalf of the next generation. I'm going to stand on behalf of the broken. I'm going to stand on behalf of the church. God, I want to stand and break every fear. And I believe, dear Daniel, he took his stance and he stood. Where is God asking you to go and stand? I've begun to go and stand. I shared a bit right in the Houses of Parliament. And God has welcomed me into tables. And I just literally, I spend money, I spend time. But it matters to me that the kingdom of God comes into our corridors of power. I actually have a USA 501c3. And I dedicate and gift to America at least 4 weeks a year where I go and stand in Washington, D.C. I've walked your Capitol Hill. I've been in with your congressmen and senators. I've prayed for different ones. I can't even say the state really because it would be too informative. But it was one of the smaller states. It was a Democrat. I walked into his senator's office and he was standing against the wall and he looked absolutely broken. And I said to him, sir, what is wrong? He said, I'm in excruciating pain. And I said, is that stress? He said, yes, it is. I got in there because I said, I'm from Oxford. They said, what can we do for you? I said, you can probably do nothing for me, but I think I can do something for you. He said, I'm curious, what can Oxford help me with right now? And I said, well, it's not so much Oxford, it's the spirit of Jesus that reforms cities and cultures. He said, I'm fascinated. I was with a huge, wonderful black African-American, Mark, who's an incredible worship leader. We walked in there and he was so broken. I said, sir, could we just change the atmosphere in your office? It feels like it's really overwhelming and intense. And he said, go ahead. And so I said, Mark, sing. And he began to sing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And he sang it like an incredible black African can only sing it. Every schedule stopped, every person, people began to bawl. People literally began to kneel down in his very, very busy office. And I said to him, what is it? He said, I am in pain. I said, can we pray for you? He said, anything. He said, nobody understands the hell I have been in since coming to office. He said, my wife has just been diagnosed with breast cancer and she's going through chemotherapy. My daughter's best friend just committed suicide in our house back in our state. This happened, that happened. I don't even want to tell all the details because it could be too much. And he went through the car. He said, it has been hell since I've come to the hill. I can hardly do it. And I said, that's because you're in a battle for the authority of a nation that God really loves. And it doesn't matter if you believe in him or not. The devil believes in your authority to bring direction. And so all hell's against you. I talked to him and we just saw power of God go through him. His shoulder completely released, except gave me his card. He said, anytime you are here, I need your prayer. I need your help. Come on. Get a different worldview. I then looked him up and his voting schedule and different things. He most probably would have been the most against my sort of world. But so what? I have an open invitation anytime. Come on, invade the space. Where is God calling you to stand? Where is the devil telling you to step back? I tell you, we've got to reverse some curses. It's standing season. Daniel chapter 10, verses 10 to 11. Come, Gordon Place. And the hand of the Lord touched me. You see, many of you came forward and you see the hand of the Lord touches you. And it says, and as the hand of the Lord touched me, it set me trembling. And the power of God begins to reverberate. And suddenly you're on your hands and knees and you're right down and the hand of the Lord is on you. You're on your hands and knees. And then the Spirit of God says, come on, Daniel. You are highly esteemed. You're incredible. You know what? God is so affirming. God bigs you up. He never presses you down. Humble yourself under God and he gets on your neck. No, he doesn't. He lifts you up and gives your life great significance. Being humble doesn't mean being invisible. That is a religious poverty mindset. Being humble actually gives you profile. It actually gives you voice. And he says, now, highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm going to speak to you. Stand up. And there's poor Daniel, and he's been shook to death by the presence of God. John Wesley puts it like this, when divinity touches humanity, how can humanity stand? And so poor Daniel, he's on the ground, literally being shaken, and God looks at him and says, stand up, for I've been sent to you. And so I don't feel you can rip trembling. I want to say to you, many of you don't feel you can really stand up in this season. It doesn't matter. Just stand up trembling. Just stand up trembling. Just get in the right rough position and God will do the rest. And then it says, I stood up trembling and then God sent an angel to help me stand. God's going to send you angels, whether heavenly ones or physical ones, but you're going to feel an angel when you're just trembling, saying, can't do this, but get up. Even if you're trembling, stand, and God will send an angel, and you will stand. Ezekiel 22:30, I touch this. I look for someone amongst them. Come on. Can you read it? Ezekiel 22:30. I look for someone amongst them who will build up the wall and before me in the gap on behalf of the land. You see, so often we just leave a bit of this out. We said, I look for a man who would stand in the gap. That's not what the scripture says. I look for a man who would stand in the gap on behalf of the, on behalf of the, on behalf of the, come on. Stand on behalf of the land. Which gap is God asking you to stand in on behalf of your land? We've all got different gaps. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's like the Nehemiah. Come on, families, find that gap in the wall and then build it. There are gaps in the land and there is designations and mandates. And they shift and change. I found mine have begun to change. I'm suddenly finding myself in government all the time. I'm finding myself in denominations, at leadership tables, restructuring. Just today, I just got the email, one of our big movements just shifted all their thing, and we've really been praying. And the person I felt, an amazing evangelist, has just been made the head of the CEO of this whole organizing, which is going to shift Britain. Come on. But if we don't get in there, how can we influence? So, number five, nearly done, but I stand with each other. I'm nearly done, but I am going to ask you all to stand. And I'm going to ask you to scoot down your rows so that you're shoulder to shoulder. I know it's hot, but you're all hot, so don't worry. And I want to ask the men that I asked to come help me if you could come on stage. I've asked a whole group of men come. Is Dan in the house? Dan and Debbie, are you here? Are there any? Oh, yeah, you're up on stage. Okay. So if we can have the scripture up here. I want to ask you a question. Who killed Uriah? It's not a trick question. Who killed Uriah? David. I wonder if you're going to say that because the Holy Spirit got hold of me and I want to show something. So you are going to be my Uriah. And Joel, I'm going to make you Joab and you have a letter. So you can come here and you can be Uriah's mighty men. So just get round him. And you see, here we know the story. In the morning, David, I'll be David, wrote a letter and gave it to Joab, and who was the leader of the army, and said to Joab, I want you to take this letter and take it down to the men so that they know what to do with Uriah. So they hand over the letter. It's all yours. You can read it. Now, what are you going to do? And it says, now, put Uriah in the front of the line and let him take the full hit. And when all hell is coming, scoot. And so you'll get this letter. Now, leave him exposed and go. What do you want to do? You see, here is your commanding officer. Here is the king of the nation who has said to you, David has said to Joab, who's told an elite SAS fighting squad, Gordon knows the army. Here's Uriah. What do you want to do? Go on, get in there. You see, Uriah has just been told by David, come on, can we... I want five other guys to take these on. Come on, step back a little bit. Go right back, 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 back. Okay, can I have five volunteers? One, two, three, four, five. Come on, come. Five volunteers. Come on. I want you to take Uriah. Can you take him? See if you can get Uriah. Mind my iPad. Get it, Gordon. Okay, whoa. Now, we're going to... You like this. Here's Uriah. You're still like... Yay! Well done, boys. Now, push back and leave him exposed. Come on, boys. Leave him. Leave him. Can you take him? Can you take him? Of course you can. Go on, take him off. Carry him off in exile. Kill him.
Not really.
Who killed Uriah? Both hands. Come on, I want you to stand around him. I want you to stand around each other. Because you see, what God showed me. Sorry about that. It's good for you. You see, David took Uriah home before all this started. And he said, come on, Uriah, Bathsheba's in there. Go be with Bathsheba and then we can sort this out. The dates will all work out. Everyone will think it's your baby. But Uriah said, no, what did he do? He said, I'm going to lie down here. Because I am with my men. And my men are on the battlefront, and they don't have the opportunity to lie down with their wives. So I am with my men, and I cannot go in for my wife. So he laid outside the door of his house all day saying, I am with my men. So then David then gets hold of Joab, manipulates Joab, who then manipulates the mighty men. And then Uriah gets up, goes to the battlefront. Who killed Uriah? All of us. You see, when people fall in the church, who? Because he couldn't handle the intensity. You see, Uriah didn't die because he couldn't handle the intensity of the battle. It says that Uriah was one of the most outstanding, skillful, well-trained, disciplined
soldiers.
Uriah didn't die because he couldn't fight. Uriah died because he was betrayed.
Uriah died because of the negligence of those who were meant to stand with him. Come on, stand right with him. And you see, we look at church plants, we look at things that are happening, and we say, oh, well, let's watch and see. No, let's stand in and cover.
And I prophesy to you that everything you're carrying at this time for your W place, I can never remember it. Walla Walla. I always want to say wallaby, and I know that's wrong. It's the Australian in me.
It will be.
But I want to speak to you. Don't leave your church plants alone. Get around him. When he needs an evangelist, go. When he needs a teacher, go. When he needs money, go. Come on, Romans 12 says some of us have the gift of money. Go. You can kill it. You see, Uriah stayed with his men. But his men didn't stay. I want you to stand together right now in the presence of God. I'm nearly done. Just last scripture, if you could put it up in the board. And I want you to snuggle in, scoot in. I want you to surround each other. Many of you are young men, young planters doing stuff. And I want you to say that success to you, oh brothers, success to you. Oh, brothers, everything that you've got in your heart to do, do it. And I pray as a network we'll learn to stand together. Now, just let's read the final scripture. If we can have a last slide, please, up there. Come on, I'll show it to you here. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be to stand
your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then.
So snug in, and I want you to pray for each other. I want you to put your hands on each other's backs and say, we're going to stand. We're going to stand against every strategy of the enemy. Just pray for each other right round. I want you to take off that sense of isolation, that sense of abandonment, that when you went through a hard time, you just felt exposed. And God, right now, we just say no to the spirit of exposure. We are going to be those that cover. We are going to cover. We are going to cover. We're not going to leave people exposed, but we're going to stand. We're going to stand. We're going to stand. We're going to stand.